The current spoiler warning level is crimson.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of crimson. We're talking about a bunch of machines from Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, especially a couple of machines from Season 2 of Iron-Blooded Orphans with major plot details discussed. So consider this, don't listen if you don't want to be spoiled. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the first Mechanista NG, I guess, recorded in the new year. The previous one was in the new year, because it's going to come out later today, because that's how our scheduling works. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Dylan. Hello.
Dylan, are you ready to go back to reality? Oh, here comes gravity.
What?
We're just going to roll some dice.
Yes, right, because normally we would be finishing the second part of that car one, and I was like, please let me talk about a robot next week. I remember now.
And because of that, an even meaner episode I had planned, I was also on hold.
Fair enough. It was very funny. You're going to have context for this, so I'm going to have to talk about it real quick. So when I was downstairs, it was very funny because someone was like, well, wait, if you don't like cars, how can you record an hours-long episode on it? Well, I'm like, well, I'm still going to sincerely engage with, like, you know, what's going on with it. Like, that's just mm-hmm. how I am. I'm just, you know, even if I'm not, like, it's not like it's the worst time ever. I try to be both a good sport about it, and also, you know, I can talk about things even without it being my interest. And, like, to explain it to someone, I was having a back and forth with about it, because they were like, are you sure you just don't like cars? I was like, okay, if I was on Mechanista, and some, like, cosmic thing happened where we had to rate cans of beans, I would take it with just as much sincerity while doing the ranking and whatnot as I would, like, cars. It's just, it's how I go. I know what people like to listen to from us, you know, so I'm going to try to give that, even if I'm not super interested. And then instead of fixating on that, all they kept saying was, okay, hold on, I need a message Six about a can of beans. And I was like, you motherfuckers.
Or like if we did consoles or something.
Like, yeah, if I did consoles, I would do the same thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I want to try to give a sincere listen, even on topics I'm not as into. Because it's more fun that way. It's not going to be fun if I'm just fuming the whole time. I do my initial fuming because, of course, everyone gets a laugh when they hear my anguish. Because not any one particular one. I might may or may not be talking about you. I'm sure some people gain some sadistic pleasure from hearing me scream when we get a car or something. Actually, I know several people who do. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I still try to approach things sincerely. Anyway. This week I just want to talk about a robot. I don't care what robot, I just want to talk about a robot.
Okay, well, what about V07-0126?
V07 what?
V07-0126.
Is this a victory design?
This is not a victory design. This is a Iron-Blooded Orphans MSV.
Okay, V07. That's what it starts with. What the fuck is... Hold on, I'm thinking. When you say MSV, is this from Gecko, or is this from, like,
This is not from Gecko.
Is this from the mobile game, then, G?
This is from the mobile game, G.
I have no fucking clue, if I'm being honest.
This is the Sigrun.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, so this is going to be the Sigrun. This would be a very short episode if we just talked about the Sigrun. So, much like we did with the Hexa frame, should we just talk about all the Valkyria frame designs? Because there's only three of them.
Well, it's Valkyria frames. Thank you very much. And also, there are more than
actually,
three
there are five, but... Yeah, five. Yeah. Okay, I did forget about one of these, which is from the mobile game. But you get what I mean. Like, if we only talk about the Sigrun, it's its own machine.
Sure, I guess that's fine. I think we might have already done the Grimguard.
Oh, have we?
I'll look into it. It doesn't matter. We can go ahead and start on the Sigrun, and then while we're doing that, I will look into this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for now, we'll talk about the Sigrun. All right, let me get the images of this, and yeah, we'll be ready to go. So, the Sigrun's a mobile suit from IBO MSV, also appeared in IBOG. And it is a suit made on the Valkyrie. Would it be pronounced Valkyrja?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so you don't know. I thought it would be like Valkyria or something like that.
I don't know what language it's supposed to be.
I mean, given that their names are things like... we have Otlinda, Valtraut, Sigrun, and Grimgird. I don't know, actually.
I mean, yeah. I don't know what... like. I could just sound like an idiot and just say Scandinavian with like seven question
marks.
Well,
like Sigrun's like... Sigrun's a Valkyrie, right?
Yeah.
So that's German, right?
No. What?
Wait, why did I say German? Wait, no, Valkyrie. That is, yeah, Scandinavian. What am I saying in German? That's Norse, specifically, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why I thought... Why was I thinking fucking German? Well, Sigrun does sound German to me, to be fair. But I also sounds Norse. Look, I'm not. I am not of that. I am not of that region. I don't know anything. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm gonna go with Valkyria because Valkyrja frame sounds weird to me.
No, Valkyrja apparently is right.
Oh, really?
I mean, okay. We're probably butchering it slightly, but it is an alternate spelling of Valkyrie.
Oh,
from
okay.
Old Norse.
Okay. Yeah, the Sigrun, though. So, what we have going on here is... Oh, wait, I think I just realized why... Sorry, real quick. I think I realized why I associate Valkyrie with German, because, Wagner, right? The composer.
Okay.
I think that's actually why, because I think he did, like, what is it, Flight of the Valkyries or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's a German composer. I think that's why my brain went there for a moment. Anyway, all right. So the Valkyria frame is kind of the predecessor to the Graze's frame. It is meant to be like it's kind of like the Talgis to the Leo, right? Like it is a better frame that is actually meant to be stronger. But then eventually gets like mass produced into a much, you know, like more like neatly done frame with the Graze one.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. So the Sigrun is to describe the design for the head, we've got a very helmet looking head. You know, it's kind of like a not quite a frog helm, because frog helms, you know, it's pointier than a frog helm is, but it's a very pointed helmet that does have, like, a little bit of a lip on the bottom side of it. And then in between, like, the gap there, you actually have, like, a sensor bar going around it. Mm-hmm. Then you have, like, two little wings that are actually swept forward. And then you also have a horn on the back of the head. Also, as part of the face, there is actually, like, a little faceplate below. And the little below faceplate that's, like, on the front of, I guess, what you would describe as the neck, it actually has four more eyes on it, two on either side, that are, like, little sensor eyes that can move. I think they're, like, I think even though they've got, like, a bit more of a pill shape, I think the way they're depicted, they can, like, move back and forth. So that's actually pretty cool. Then for the torso, you've got a very popped collar going around the head. It's got, like, little extraneous armor pieces on the lower side of them, kind of around that faceplate. You've got a single chest plate attached to the front of the frame. as well as having some upper and lower armor around the like arm area of the frame. The rest of the body frame is actually just kind of bare, though. Besides that, you've got like the two tubes going in into the back from the front. You got like the big middle strut along with some exposed pistons. Then moving on to the arms, we've got pretty simple shoulder armor. It's like a it's a piece that is like bigger around like the middle and then like kind of has like a little dip on the top of it, but it's like a round pauldron with a couple of like little holes in it. You've got a piece of dark blue armor on the upper arm, which is just a circular armor piece going around the whole arm.
Fully just looks like a gunpla piece.
Yeah, it's very simple. Then for the forearms, got some exposed frame on the outside with like two of the wires, and then on the sides you have the light blue armor. Protects the sides of the arm around the wrist as well as the joint on the back. Pretty standard hands going on. Moving on to the waist. The front skirt. So it's a little weird. We've got like a front plate that has on it like two thrusters, actually. Like these, like it's got these like on either end of this like front plate, you've got these little pods hanging off, and then at the end of them they have like a little pointed end with a thruster. So it's got like two thrusters on the front, and then you've got two big side skirt thrusters as well. Similar kind of like, you know, like nice like separate pod shape. The thrusters for these are located on the inside. You can see like it's got like a double set of openings if you're looking at the rear view.
I don't know how common this is, but these thrusters have a fancy name.
Oh, do they?
These are the thermal phase transition thrusters, because they are one of the main features of this machine. Apparently, despite their size, they are extremely high output.
Mm. Then you've got a single rear plate around the frame there. Just like a single plate that looks like it can move up and down, has some like little notches carved into it, but it's a very simple overall shape. For the thighs, you've got armor around the front of the thigh, though the back of the thigh is just exposed frame. Then on the for the knees, you've got pretty exposed leg frame in between the upper and lower leg, actually. And then like the sort of knee armor there, you've got like a, because the legs are double jointed, you know, this is in between the two joints. Since we're in like this era rather than like the single joint legs that are typically how a lot of older mobile suits are depicted, this one actually has two joints. And yeah, so you have the knee piece like armor on the front of it between the two joints. And the knee almost is reminiscent of like that faceplate. Like it's like a, you know, piece of armor. It's a little flat on top, comes to a point in the middle. And then it's got, down either side, it's got these, three, like, carved in little grooves, or, like, little, like, rectangles, on either side of the, knee, so there's six total openings. And then you have a little bit of armor protecting the sides of the joints there. A little, single dark blue plate on the front of the lower leg. On the back, you just have exposed frame along with some of those cables, because the Valkyria frame has a lot of these cables. Simple ankle armor, though, and you get these nice double high heel feet, where it's got, like, the two pointed heels coming out of the heel, and then, you know, the toe, it, you know, steps down. Finally, for the backpack, it doesn't really have a backpack. The thrusters are just kind of connected into the frame, and you've got, like, they're almost like these kind of, like, just, what are they, like, just like the thrusters with, like, the fins. They're very simple, like, kind of like the F-91's backpack or something, you know, like, just that
kind of style. It has those, and then it has, like, below it on either side, like, a triple stack of, like, vented thrusters.
But yeah, and then you have the blue ones above, which are just like two other thrusters. This is a very overall lightweight design, if you could tell by all the armor being exposed and how a lot of it is just thrusters. Which kind of makes sense, though, because it is supposed to be, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be a lightweight design that moves, like, very zippy, so.
Its chest is really weird.
See, it, I've like, always liked the exposed frame stuff on a lot of the IBO suits, but...
I'm not saying I dislike it, but, like, the fact that it has, like, the, you know, it has the armor, and then, like, the frame itself, like, leans away from it. It is, like, reeling back away from its own armor in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, interesting. I don't know.
A lot of them have, like, the weird spine like that, like, where it comes back a little bit. Which I think,
I guess I'm mostly used to building Gundam frames, which don't do this.
Yeah, the Gundam frame. Well, the Gundam frame has a little bit of a bend back, but it's not as extreme as this.
Well, it's like it's got a bend back at, like, you know, sort of like the belly, right? But this one has a bend back all the way up, like, through most of the ribs sort of area.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a little weird, especially on a design like this, which has, you know, only, like, a very bare minimal armor. So you just, you very much see it, that there's, like, this weird gap there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so for armaments, there are two armaments. It has a rapier, which you can see on the art from the front on the left. That's honestly more like a weird kind of like weird little lance almost in its design. It has that. It is made of the quote unquote rare metal, which I always love when they say rare metals, because that's usually like the weird like gold. Parts mm-hmm. like the tip of the like the tip on the Hashmall's tail, or like the there's a couple other examples. Like anytime you have those little yellow blades, though, they're like rare metals, and it can penetrate nanolaminate armor is the main thing.
I get that sometimes you just don't want to do world building, but calling your rare metal literally rare metal is pretty basic, you guys.
You do have the, then for the other arm, you have the Valkyria round shield. This is a pretty cool shield. It is, as it says, a round shield. It's got like a white cross in the middle of it. And then it's got on each corner, like a little bit of blue armor. And then on the top, bottom, left and right of it, you can see there's a like blade sticking out, and these blades are actually launchable, via wires. Which I think is really cool. I really like these. I'm going to send you the image so I can actually then copy it to the thing, because I have the model kit of this guy, and I have it posed with the wires firing, so I was just going to use my own picture.
I wonder if it's, like, a gimmick of, like its role at debuting in a game, because, like, there's... This is from the same era as the Bale, right? Near the end of the Calamity War, right?
Yeah.
And the Bale is a suit with just two swords and, like, shoulder cannons or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the story there is, like, yeah, he was so good, this was all he needed. Why would you intentionally design a suit with no ranged weapon?
To be fair, it's because ranged weapons in IBO plunk a lot of the time.
I mean...
A lot of it tends to plunk off the nanolaminate armor. Even, like, the Gundam's big cannon is... It fires at the armor to plunk them around, but then usually finishes with a melee weapon.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, you just don't typically get, like... The thing is, right, they have a ranged weapon that can actually work, and they can build it pretty portably, and then it was made illegal, is the problem.
Yeah.
Because even, like, miniature Dineslaves exist, but they are not... You're not supposed to have them. Basically, things that can break through nanolaminate armor as a ranged weapon are just, like, kind of not allowed to exist. Which, I mean, that's the thing, right? Theoretically speaking, the one who is supposed to be, like, you know... It is, what is it? How am I spacing on the name? Gjallarhorn is the ones in charge of everything. So, like, it's just one of those things where it feels like we know we can defeat enemies with our, like, really badass, like, mobile suit production. And also they're going to be stuck with, like, crappy little ranged weapons. We don't even need to bother developing ranged weapon for our things, because we're the ones who are in charge of everything. And, I mean, it did work for them for, like, I don't know, 100 plus years before, the events of IBO happen. It's not like it didn't really work out for them for a while.
I know that it's just because they want it to be, like, the melee-focused one, right? And that's fine.
I mean, yes, that's the out-of-universe reason, but...
it doesn't actually make sense. If you're like, no, this armor can hold up to so much force, if you measure the force of like that smoothbore cannon and how fast and how much energy that round would have versus the Barbatos swinging a mace. The Barbatos is not swinging that much harder.
I mean,
bullets move fast. They have a lot of energy, especially really big ones.
Yes, but I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, when you start extending this argument too much, there's a lot of media this can apply to.
Yeah, I suppose.
Wherein, like, you know, like, they wanted to have something that goes for more medieval combat. I get it.
Sure, sure, fair.
And it's not like nanolaminate armor is perfect. It still, like, does break down under it. But also consider, this is meant to be a fast mobile suit that just zips around and stabs you.
Sure, I don't have as much of a problem on this one, I guess. I guess that's fair. Though also, if they wanted to do medieval combat, I mean, I guess I'm just picking my era of medieval combat, but imagine if the Dying Slaves had been introduced as, like, an indirect fire weapon that you could only use from extreme distance, like longbows.
True. Though in the medieval one, they are actually, to me, I think, more of a, they are a crossbow, I think, in the case of, this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do I not have any pictures? I was, while we were talking, I was, like, looking for pictures. I'm like, well, do I not have pictures of my high-grade Sigryn? That sucks if so. I do, but I think either they are on my phone, and I haven't transferred them yet, or I have mislabeled something in my models and figures folder, one of the two, which...
Well, now you get to look at the fucking, why is it not letting me resize it? The official Bandai art.
Yeah.
They did okay.
I think I did better, because I had them... The way I did it was I had it so they were, like, swirling out of the shield.
And they just sort of have them wiggling, like they're...
They have them wiggling, and I think it looks yeah. weird. I think they're it looks better if they're, like... Like, I have the shield, like, more vertical... Or, horizontal, I guess, if you're looking at it. Like, it is wide-facing, and then the blades are spiraling out of it. Which I think looks a bit better than, the Bandai photo, personally. I do think this weapon's cool, though, but also I love wired weapons, so, you know. Yeah, the Sigryn is... I like this machine overall, though. You know, it is just a fast, stabby lad. Which I think is cool.
Yeah.
So, did you find out? Have we ever talked about the other Valkyrie? Did we talk about the Grimgird?
We actually must have skipped it.
Okay. Because, yeah. So, should we just go to that next and then finish through them? Because, like I said, the problem is, I mean, you look at the episode time, we're 20 minutes in. We're done with the Sigryn.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Or do we want to do all the side ones and we'll save the Grimgird and its related unit for rolling it itself, and we can just talk about the other two, like, standalone ones? Like, this is just, like, the IBO MSV episode, basically.
I mean, do you want to just do all the Valkyrja frames, or, I mean, so those are the options. We have four more suits to talk about, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? The Grimgird, its variants, the Otlinde, and the Ultraut. Which mm-hmm. I'm not confident in my pronunciation of any of those. Or we could do... We have some pending business, but, you know.
It's hard because, right, like, the Valtraut and the Otlind would also be, like, short episodes on their own. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the Grimgird could give us a bit more to talk about as for... Well, I say that its upgrade would. It kind of wouldn't, honestly. Let's just do all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we'll just talk about the Grimgird next. The Grimgird, this is the one that is actually animated in the show. So, the Grimgird is another Valkyria frame. Obviously more mobile, like, than the standard Graze frame. This one's a bit more of an up-armored one. So the Grimgird, describing it from head to toe. So you have a head where it is also a knight helmet. This one is a more simple one, not as, like, beaked, not as pointy on the front. Has a, between the visor, you do have an eye in there. And then, so it has, like, the kind of, like, knight mouth visor thing. You know, like, the mouth with, like, the vertical bars. But it actually has an eye in the middle of that, which is kind of cool. Like, it's got another eye inside of there. And then, of course, you've got also on the head two wings that are, like, swept back. Then you've got the pop collar. You have a small torso piece of armor in red. Not as pointy as the one on the Sigrun. You've also got torso armor going around the body. Simpler than the Sigrun's, just because it doesn't have, like, the attachments on it at all. So it just protects, like, above and below. For the shoulders, you've got pretty large shoulder armor, actually. You've got these beefy, tall shoulders. They, have armor on the front, and then, like, a U-piece shape of armor, and then, armor on the back.
I mean, these literally are tall geese shoulders.
Yeah, they're basically tall geese shoulders, and then on the top it has, like, a little, kind of like a brownish piece of armor. It's, like, gray, but, like, it's a warm gray.
Mm-hmm.
For the bicep, very simple one, kind of like the Sigrun's, just single color piece that protects the whole bicep frame. Then for the forearms, pretty similar forearm design for the armor as the Sigrun's armor. You know, it's armor that has the hard points on the either side of it, and then it's got like a little bit of an elbow protecting the joint. The hands are pretty standard hands attached to the arms of the shields. We'll talk about those when we get to the armaments, but just to describe them real quick, you've got a shield where it's got, like, they're not, like, big shields, they've just got a, they have a bit swept back that is flat at the end, and then the front, part that is swept forward, has, like, two little, like, spikes at the end, like, two little, like, pile bunkers. Mm-hmm. They're probably not actual pile bunkers, like, they shoot in, but you know what I mean, they have that effect, they're just, like, these two little spikes at the end of this. But yeah, moving on to the waist, you've got a single crotch plate.
Oh, those pile bunker things are just the handles.
Oh, are those the handles for the sword?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, weird. I never actually realized that.
We'll look at it further in a second, but I'm pretty darn sure.
Oh, no, they're not.
They're not?
Nope. If you look at, here, I'm just going to link it because we're going to talk about it. You can see the shield and the sword separated at the top of that image.
Oh, you're talking about the spikes. I was looking at the
The two little points, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I thought you were talking about the...
No, I'm not talking about the handle. No. Anyway, moving on, the waist, you got a central crotch piece. It's got a line going down the middle of it. Very simple, though. It's just kind of bolted in on the front of the frame there. You can see the two little bolts where it's, like, plugged in, basically. Mm-hmm. You have two side skirts, no fancy thrusters or anything, just armor. It wraps around the upper thigh and then the side, kind of sweeps back. And you do have a big tail on this one, like a big rear plate. Big divide in the middle, so it's almost like it has like two separate rear skirts is what the design looks like here. With that, which is pretty neat. Then you've got thigh armor, again, very similar to the Sigrun's. It's just wrapped around. It protects the front, but the back has the exposed frame. For the knee armor, simpler knee than the Sigrun's. Does have, like, a little cut in the, like, middle top of it on the front. Then you've got these two bigger than the Sigrun's plates protecting the sides of the joint that are kind of, like, hanging pieces of armor. You can really see it, like, if you're looking at the front art, the way that they overhang rather than, like, being directly attached to the armor. For the lower legs, you do have armor that covers most of the lower leg, though it does have a bit in the middle of the leg that actually has exposed frame, so it's just like two armor plates slapped on the outside, but then the middle is exposed. You do have ankle armor that is just like pretty standard, your standard fare there. Got a high heel. Well, it's not quite a high heel, but these have tall feet is how I'll word it, actually.
Sure, yeah.
So you've got, like, a tall heel with a tall white piece, and then the front of the foot and the back of the foot, you've got these, like, little, like, gray pieces on the foot for the heel and for the foot. No backpack at all, it's just those thrusters, and just no other attachments on the back. Yeah, and then for armaments, you've got I guess I'll talk about the shield and sword first. You also have a rifle on this guy, but so for the sword and the shield, the shields are on the arms. These are shields that are meant to be able to be weaponized. That's why they have the two little, like, punch spikes. But also, the shield is not, like, this is a mobile, like, I mean, it is a mobile suit. It is meant to be fast, so I think that the spinning shields are more so. It can have shields, but without like sacrificing like its speed, is why it's got these like weird little like thin shields. Also, the swords are sheathed in the shield, as you mentioned. And it's got the rare metal sword, so the sword blades are like this kind of like dull yellow, kind of goldish color. It can keep these attached to the shields, so it can swing them while they're attached to the shields, or it can pull them out and grab them, which is pretty cool. I like the designs of these though a lot. The swords themselves, just very simple swords, but still they work. But the shields are what like kind of wins me over on this design. Same, I like these kind of weird shields. It doesn't work quite the same, but it's why I like the shield on like the flag in 00, where it's like the weird spinning rod rather than like a normal shield. Even though this one is more meant just to lighten the load rather than having like a full tower shield attached to the arm. I think they're cool. But yeah, also the Grimgur does have a rifle. It doesn't get depicted with it, like, very much, and doesn't use it at all in, like, the main duel that it's used, but here, it is a, what is it, like, a 105mm or something? Let me see.
Look at this Zako-inspired motherfucker.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's a 110mm. It looks very much like a Zaku machine gun-style machine gun, right? It's got the drum frame on the top, it's got the little secondary handle, it's got a little foldy stock. It looks kind of like a more, like, toned-down version of a Zaku machine gun. But yeah,
as you said, it's 110. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a 110mm.
I think that is the same as like the ones the
Zaku is
the
late one production uses. Ones.
I think the Zaku one uses 105.
Okay, I know the Zaku 2's standard one is a 120mm. But
yeah, and I think it went down to 110. I'm trying to figure out if it was either.
I know like, that there's the 80mm, which is the later little.
Oh, that's the 90mm.
Or
90mm. Tripped up again.
Yeah, sorry.
Despite being called the MMP-80, it follows.
Right, MMP-80, but it's 90mm. Right.
Yeah, I know. I'm wrong. The Hyzak is also a 120. Yeah, well, whatever.
But yeah, like I said, it's a neat little gun. I do like the way that the it can have the magazine either on top or on the side, so that when you're storing it on the rear skirt armor. So what happens is a little peg pops out. You can see it of the handle that is like here. I guess I can mark that here.
It's on the art. You can see it. Yeah,
you can see it there. Let me pick a color that isn't red isn't black.
Why don't you pick the part where the peg is actually popped out?
And yeah, well, I was just showing where it is normally. But yeah,
fair enough.
It's just fun that it can like pop out so that you can have that attached to the rear skirt, and then also have it so the drum magazine isn't like interfering with the when it's attached. Just neat little gun. Again, nothing too fancy. Does have a high sensitivity sensor, which is like the main mask, I believe. No, it's the it's talking about how the head can open. It's got the little face open gimmick that the some of the other leader suits have. Like, I'm just gonna get rid of these since we don't really need these anymore. You can see it in the in this image right here with the Grace style mask underneath.
Oh,
on the right.
The very fucking Code Geass.
Mm-hmm. All right, and this is used by McGillis near the end of the show. It's used, I believe, in like one space battle, and then it is used then on Earth. And it's most of its appearance is on the latter part, where it has a duel with a Gundam. It's pretty cool.
I had a very funny moment where I was like, wow, this has a lot more armaments than I remembered. No, Six, you forgot you opened a tab of the Hyzak.
Oh, I guess, I wonder if these are all named after Valkyries, because apparently Grim Gerde is the 8th out of the 9 Valkyries in the Die Valkyr opera.
Sure, why not?
Let me see. Die Valkyr. Let me see what their names are in Die Valkyr. Brunhilde, Gerhilde, Ortlinda, Valtarate. Sigrun. Yep. And Helmwig. Grimgerd. So, yep. Okay. They are all named after that. After the Valkyries. Well, then we have the Helmwig Reinkar. The Reinkar part is a little weird, Because this is not an original design, as in, like, this was not... This is a variation of the Grimgird. It is used in the second season by... I don't remember his fucking name. He sucks. Isurugi, there we go. The guy who follows McGillis. He is given this suit, and it is just a heavy armored version of the Grimgird. So, talking about its design, we've got a very, very different overall shape. Though it still has, like, this is still clearly based on, like, armor. It has a horned helm, though, very obviously, with, you have two horns on it. You've got, a face, like, a little face sensor that is, like, inset inside of this little helmet. The helmet has multiple colors going on. You've got, like, blue for the forehead guard, and then right below the visor you've got white and then blue, and then you've also got a little bit of, like, yellow on the top of the head, sweeping back.
It's not a good yellow.
Yeah, it's not. It's a very, like, Dijon mustardy yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, like, a big cheek armor that wraps around the whole head, and this is where the horns are also attached into. When you get to the chest is actually very protected in comparison to the prior ones. Though, it's interesting, because, like, it feels like this is very up-armored, but in some ways it's not. It's just that it covers more. Because if you look, it doesn't have, like, the armor on the tops of the frame there. It's just all the armor is on the front, and it just hangs lower. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's also one of the things that's weird about Iron-Blooded Orphans, right, is making an armored-up suit in IBO kind of is nonsense because it's the frame that's actually hard, usually.
Mm-hmm. Does also have... So, the piece that is of interest here is it has, like, a little piece on the front of the chest plate there that has six little holes in it. This is actually a mask that can pop over the face. Basically, when this is doing its, like, ram attack, because it can do a ram attack. Not that you would really know, because I think it gets to do it once, because this thing does not get to participate in the show. Which sucks, because I actually think the design is overall fine, but it just doesn't get to participate very much. But you can see the head kind of tucks in, and that can pop up a little, so it can protect the face with that.
It's in two fights. Be nice.
I like this machine, I just also think it gets, like, it just doesn't get to do much.
I don't like this machine, so.
That's fair. Alright, moving on, though. The shoulder armor, you got huge shoulder armor, that actually has, like, a thruster on the front and back of it. Then you've got, like, some overhang protecting, like, the bicep and arm. For the, you don't really see the upper arm, though. You can see it from the back a bit better. It has the same kind of rounded armor, though it's a bit thicker than the one on the Grimgerda.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the forearm armor, pretty similar, though it actually has around the wrist, like, full armor. Like, it protects the top of the wrist on the outside, too. And does have bigger hands than the Grimgird. This actually has unique hands. Unique larger hands. For the skirt, you've got a front skirt piece with a thruster on the bottom of it, that's just, like, a front plate. You have no real side skirts, you have just have, like, this plate of armor protecting the thighs there, wrapped around the top. Or around the sides of the, thigh, and then it has, like, a little bit, of armor that goes up, that helps protect the top of it. And then, for the rear plate, you have a rear plate that is similar in design to the Grimgird's, though it's flattened a little. It's not as pointy. Which makes sense, just given that this design's a lot more beefy and flat and bulky. For the upper thighs, you've got a much larger version of the existing kind of Valkyria frame armor, where you've got it's just beefier armor wrapped around the front. It actually has a little bit protecting the front joint as well, but the back is still exposed. Has a very similar knee to the Grimgird, but flipped upside down, but it still has, like, that little hole. Doesn't have as much, like, beveling as the Grimgird's. It's got two little side plates protecting the sides of the joint there. It's got the same lower leg armor, actually, as the Grimgird, though it's got an extra piece of armor sticking out of the foot, like, the top of the foot armor that protects the leg as well.
Well, it has custom, like, elephant feet.
And then, yes, the feet are just, the feet are, like, these big hoof-like feet. See, I went hoof-like because I see this as, like, a minotaur.
Sure.
Is how my brain sees it, but, and these are able to actually, like, as you can see in the picture there, they can extend, and, like, pop through, which, or pop out, which is kind of cool. I like that it can extend its footprint like that. And yeah, so what this is known for is primarily its main weapon, which is the Valkyria Buster Sword. This is a large sword that is able to be used by this. You can actually see it has a subarm in the front skirt, so the front skirt can pop forward and have an arm help hold this, like when it's at rest. And it's a big fucking sword. Huge sword. It's a pretty cool sword design, actually. I like that it actually has, so the handle is retractable, so the handle can, like, extend in and out. It also, the lower handle can be removed and just used as a separate club, the lower counterbalance, which is kind of neat. The lower that's the short club. This sword is why this suit is known, because a lot of people used to make a joke about, there was, like, they would joke with the model box art where they would Photoshop out the Helmwig Rhynkar itself and just leave the sword because, you know, people would be buying it,
just so they could use the sword on
the sword for the, because the Barbados takes it, in the Hashmall duel.
Uh-huh.
And that's, like, the thing that's known for, yeah. It does have one other mode of attack, which is the horns. The horns are strong enough metal to penetrate the opponent's armor, specifically gaps, and also it does have electric shocks that can charge through it, which will fry the electronics on the inside, which is I do like that. It doesn't really use these, though. Again, it has, like, this thing literally is used in, like, two fights.
Uh-huh.
It's used in a fight where it is against the Vidar, where he is told, no, don't actually fight. So he does, like, the fucking Obari pose and everything, and then he doesn't get to fight it. Then he shows up...
What are you talking about? He does... Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Wait, does he actually fight it? I can't remember.
Oh, you're talking in, yeah, no, okay. Then that's three fights. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, because the Hashmall fight, he shows up. And then...
He helps.
No, he doesn't! He gets his sword stolen! That's all that happens!
That's not
sorry.
True.
He does charge. He does charge at it and get fucking kicked into the side and away.
Yeah. See, he helped.
Anyway, whatever. I don't count that. And then, yeah, he has an extended fight with the Kamaris Vidar, wherein that's where you see him, like, using the sword and actually getting to do stuff.
Like dying.
Well, that's he doesn't actually die in his duel. He gets pulled back by McGillis again. And then McGillis is about to defeat the Bale in a duel with the secret, like, drill knee. Like, he's about to, like, knee the Bale in the cockpit and just fucking end McGillis right there. And then he knocks the Bale out of the way and takes the hit and gets drilled through the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because it just goes right through and Isurugi's fucking dead.
The end of that show is so thematically confused.
I like it, but it is messy. But I also like it, but it's also very messy. The Helmwig Rhynkar, and honestly, Isurugi himself, just... I understand the function of him existing, but they don't do enough with him. Like, they're trying to have, like, another, hey, this is a person working with McGillis, who is, like, you know, it bought into his ideals, much like how Gailio was. But he also, you know... he's going to die for those. They don't do enough with it. They have the idea. This is the problem with IBO season 2 is IBO. There are shows that we can watch where I'll go, damn, I wish that was longer. IBO is like one of those ones where I'm like, you could have cut a core out of this. Just like, you know, this could have been a 3-core show. I wouldn't have wanted it to only be 2-core. But I think it does, at 4-core, it meanders a little and has too many ideas that it can't finish, especially in season 2. I still like the show, but man, what a weird show. Seeing the Isurugi getting killed is just reminding me of that. Anyway. Yeah, so, alright. We have two more to talk about. They are both side designs. Of the Ultlinda, which is piloted by Jizzle Jizzin in IDO Gekko. So the Ultlinda, I love this one actually. This is a weird one. So we have the Ultland, or Ultlinda. I'm assuming with the E at the end, it's Ultlinda, given that it's like a Norse thing, but who knows. Continuing on, we still have a, oh, what is this kind of cap called? This is still doing medieval armor helmet. This is specifically based on a specific type of cap that I'm just spacing the name on, but I've played enough video games where I've seen the name of it.
This is like the kind of hat you classically see like Robin Hood wearing, which is very funny.
I thought it was, I thought this was actually going for like a specific helmet look.
I guess it is doing, it's sort of combining the two. It has the feather.
It has the feather though. Yeah, that is true. It does have, very much has the feather, sticking out of the head. And then you also, so this one's an interesting one because of the, like, the way the hat is brimmed. This one's face, it has more, like, the face is more of a face for it, whereas, like, the face on a lot of the prior ones actually, like, kind of hangs below what you would, like, you don't think of it as the face on the other ones, you know, especially, like, the Sigrun, where it, like, is basically, like, neck armor. But, yeah. Still has, like, the little slits in the, face mask there. Then, moving on to the, torso, you've got a,
I thought sometimes there are images on the Gundam Wiki, sorry, what I have done for audio listeners is I took the actual, production art and tried to slip it behind, because sometimes when we copy art from the Gundam Wiki for just the basic mecha designs, it has transparency, and sometimes it does not.
Yep. And yeah, so that's the art actually for the comic back there, as opposed to this art, which I think this art came later and it's more like the Sete style. I think this might've been for, if they released it in a game or something. Cause you can see that if you look at that art on that page down there, it's got more coloring in and the coloring is different. It's not like the shiny shading that you have here. It's kind of interesting that we have like Sete style art as well as like the, you know, comic art, which is more...
Can't believe his name's Jizzle Jizzin.
His name is Jizzle Jizzin. Very popped color to go with this dapper hat, which is great. Does still have a front chest plate. Has two little plates hanging around the side of the chest here that hang down a little and in little points. This has a recurring through line of having like the armor where it has like these circles cut out of it, and I love the way that looks. You have it here on the chest, but it'll continue on a couple other areas. It does have white armor protecting the around like the bottom of the torso frame where the arms are connected into. For the arms, we have asymmetrical arms here for the simpler arm, the right arm. It's just got a piece of armor that is wrapped around. It does have like a point. This armor, you can see like the two circle motifs actually at the base of it. Like if you look around the point, it's got two circles taken out of it on the sides. The other shoulder is a bit more ornate and fancy. It has... So the base armor underneath is like this big squared armor that has a yellow cross on it on the base of the shoulder. And then at the end of the arm, it has like a little hard point. And then connected into this hard point is this like weird set of like spiked armor that is like... that overhangs. And this armor can like move back and this armor is interesting. You can kind of see it if we look at the art here. You can see it there. It is meant to be like movable armor. You can see it like,
oh neat,
middle bottom, so like it can splay out and in and stuff. So normally like it's wrapped around the arm like just like a big arm shield, but it can like move around and stuff. It's pretty neat. I actually like the idea of that, like this just weird armor that's able to like move around a little. But yeah, then for the bicep, it's got that same bicep armor that all the Valkyria frames have had so far. For the lower arm, has pretty similar armors to the Grimgirds. However, it does have like a little bit more asymmetry. The right arm, it does have like a full wrist armor going all the way around, which is kind of neat. And then the left arm, it's actually got like a little shield like cuff on the base of the wrist there, which is kind of neat. Then for the waist, you've got a simple piece of armor for the crotch there. Then you've got these really cool pointy side skirts. I love the, like, circle taken out of them, though, so you can see, like, the thigh through that. And they, like, are swept back and pointy. And then if you look at the rear skirt, you've got a rear skirt that is also, you know, basically just, like, a big pointy rear skirt. Has these, like, three little... These designs... So what's interesting is these little side skirts, and then also on the back here, I'm assuming they are thrusters, but funnily, they have the same design as the hard point on the shoulder. Like, if you were to remove the little shield from the shoulder there, which is just kind of interesting. But, yeah.
You know what the two-circle, like, the two semicircles cut out thing keeps making me think of?
Uh-huh.
They're nobodies.
I'm probably explains why I like them, because to be fair, I think nobodies are the coolest enemy designs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the Ortlinda is, I think, the coolest of the fucking Valkyrias. It's sick.
That we do agree with. Yep. Because this is actually one of my favorites. I was very surprised when they did a model kit for this. But yeah, so has a same idea of the thigh armor as the others, though it's a little fancier. It goes up more because there's more exposed thigh there. Then you have, for the, knees, got pretty big knee armor. It's got, like, a little, like, piece that overhangs on the bottom also. And it's actually got, instead of, like, just the sides that are hanging, the way that they are designed, they have those semicircles cut out of them, both on the front and back of the knee, armor, or these, like, little side knee armors. But mm-hmm. it makes it look like it wraps around the leg joint there, like, where the little circle for, you know, on the sides of the leg armor is, which is really cool, actually. That's I like really the way cool. it flows.
Yeah.
And then you got, like, that green, you get this, like, nice green armor for the rest of the leg. Back to having high heels again. It does have, like, a little simple ankle guard on the front. Tall heel with a bit of a pointy rear heel, just a single heel. And then you've got, like, a tall, like, the, you know, the foot is pointing down, and then it's got a spike at the end of the foot, like, popped up, very, like, kind of like elf shoe-ish or something, but it honestly with this it does look more armored than it does on a lot of other mobile suits. Oh, and it does have sort of a backpack, not really, it just has a piece of armor over the top of the thrusters, but it makes it so there's like these little points coming out of the top thruster, which is nice. This guy rules. It's such a weird goofy design. When it was first shown I was like, this is very silly. But the more I've, like, over time especially, I've just been like, this is such a cool, weird design.
It's fantastic.
It.
Yeah.
For its armaments, it has a double-bladed blade with one blade made out of rare metal. it can be separated at the center, so it can be used as a pair of swords, or it can just be used singularly. Apparently, it was created by repurposing the firing mechanism of the Dineslave.
Well, and notably, there's a where on the page is this, but there's a bit where it says, like, it is said that, yeah, there it is. It is said that remnants of Dineslave's firing mechanism still exist in the weapon. So in theory, you could plug this into a Dineslave and it would fire.
Yeah. Basically, they turned a Dineslave, I guess, ammo into a fucking weapon, which is kind of cool. And then, it has the shield binder, which is on the left shoulder frame. It actually works as a radar, like, it has detectors for Ahab waves.
It also has mounts for Dineslaves.
Yep. That's, you know what, that's fair. And also, during the war, way before they were outlawed, it was using Dineslaves.
It was an archer. That's why it has a little hair.
Oh, it was an archer, yeah! Oh, that makes me like this even more, I didn't even realize that. Oh, I love that. It's literally just a big archer. That's so cool. I love that it has, like, this, like, shield binder on the arm that you... Oh, and it looks like arrows, too, right?
That's,
like,
true. It's true.
The motif. Well, because, like, you know, we brought up the nobodies things, but what are those on the nobodies? Those are arrowheads. So it basically has, like, arrowhead, like, motif going on. I never realized that. Oh, that makes me just like this design more. This is just a good one. And it's also piloted by Jizzle Jizzin.
It's true. It's, like, a good point.
He's got a great name. But
let me pull up. I'm curious to see where what version of the Greys is the one with the fucking Dineslave. Dying Slave Mounted. Here we go. Okay.
Yeah, it's just the regular graze. They don't give it its own thing, I guess.
Okay, because what I wanted to see here is what I want. I just want to have here... That's the projectile. So you can imagine, like, those, like, coming down from the corner shield.
Yeah.
Pointed downwards. And that looks cool in my head.
Yeah.
And then you can also see the arms there of this thing that get turned into a sword.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The crossbow arms.
Okay. I understand now. That's pretty cool. It's very funny, too, because, yeah, because it even has the back of the sword, like the double blade for this, even has like these little parts that can pop out like a little bit. You can see it like in this. I'll use this Gunpla pose as an example here for the high grade, this promotion picture.
Yeah.
You can see it's got the little bits that at the base of the blades that are sticking out. Cool design. I want to get another one so I could give it double shoulders like that, because of course I do.
Oh, that'd be sick.
The thing is, so Hobby No Toriko on Twitter, I believe, actually did do this a few months back, and it looked really cool. And I was like, fuck, I want that too. I want that for me. but yeah, no, I like the Oatland a lot. It's very cool, in my opinion. Probably the best out of these. Next up, we have a guy who is weird that... It's not like it's bad. This is like the one I've sat the least with, though. Here we are. Real quick, this is from Hobby No Tariko's Twitter, real quick. I'm going to post this. Just so our listeners can see.
Mm-hmm.
A custom Gunpla that does it. See?
It does look good.
It looks fucking good. Anyway, alright. Next up, we have the Vault Route. I'm assuming it's a vault route because it's, if you look at the katakana.
This is a weird buggy boy.
Yeah, so this is a weird one because so far they've all been based on Western armor.
Uh-huh.
This is clearly
distinctly not.
Distinctly not. Yeah. Which I think is neat, though. I get why you would go for Western armor for most of it. But this one decides to do something different. This is a main design. This is a design from IBOG. It's specifically an MSV, so it's not tied into the story of that one. It's just, you know, a design that exists. That's kind of why it has the distinction between IBO MSV that appear in G versus, like, an IBOG suit. It's like, this doesn't have, like, a specific thing. It doesn't appear in the story. It's just, we got the designer to make a cool design, one of these that exist. Because we know there are 9 of these, so we have room. You know, it's just like how it's really easy to make a Gundam for IBO, considering you have 72 names to pick from. And we know that many exist, so so for the head you've got on this one, this is an interesting head. So it's got like a head with like a rounded bit of armor on the top and the back of it, and then you've got like the face mask, and then what I like is you actually have like a series of like points going down the mask, like on the face, that also have another opening that you can see the camera through. Here's like a picture from the video game from IBOG. I really like the way that looks. I also like that it actually has like the darker purple armor as one of the plates on the face there. You can see it better in the game there. I just think that's a really cool looking face design for this. So for the torso, you've got a high collar like all the Valkyria frames have had so far. You've got armor, you know, wrapped around the usual area. You do have a center torso piece of armor. Comes down to a point, kind of similar to the Sigrun's, but a bit longer. And then you've got 2 plates on either side that are, you know, over the sides of the chest. For the arms, you've got pretty bare shoulders, actually. It's basically like the bare frame of the shoulders, though it does have an attachment point for having these big shields plugged in. And these shields... they have like that look of what is it, like the lacquered armor that you get like samurai armor where it's like the layers.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So you've got like, you know, you've got an armor piece on the top and the middle and the bottom, and then you've got like the little bit of under armor in between holding it together. And I just really like the way these shields look, honestly. Like, this is not a design I've like looked at a ton, but honestly I just think it's a solid looking design overall. You've got purple biceps that are just the same Valkyria ones. Pretty similar to the Grimgird overall like design for these arms, though it does have a bit more elbow protection. Instead of it being a point, it's like a big elbow. Like, again, it's going for that samurai armor, like that more wide armor look. And it has that even with like the back of the elbow here, which I think is neat. Same goes for the front skirt, right? You've got the three plates of the front skirt. You've got these like double plate side skirt folds. And then the rear skirt is like another triple plate, that goes pretty far down. Then you've got a pretty beefy, thigh armor, though it's still doing basically the same thing as all of them, where it's just wrapped around and protecting the front. Tall knee armor, that actually goes down quite a bit. And then, it's got the two side pieces, like all the other ones have had, protecting the sides of the joints, and then, you get some purple armor on the front, for the lower leg. This purple armor has some holes cut into it. If you're looking at it from front on, like, they make almost like an X shape with the hole. And then for the feet, though, you've got a foot with a bit of armor on it, and then, it doesn't have a high heel, but it does have, like, the heel is tall and pointy on the back of it. Tall heel, I guess, is what I would say. Again, kind of similar to some of the earlier ones. And then some toe armor. This actually has a pretty substantial bit on the back. It's got a big plate over the top of the thrusters, as well as like a little adjoining plate between those. And then it's got two sizes of sword. It's got a Uchigatana and a Wakizashi, both made of rare metal. It's got the two sizes of sword. And yeah, there's not a lot going on with this guy, because it's not like a story appearing guy, but hey, it's a cool design on the Valkyria frame. I like this one.
Yeah, this is kind of nothing, because there isn't really enough to support this statement, right?
Uh-huh.
But apparently this was designed to sort of be a defensive, like, unit on the, like, front lines, defending, like, the, like, vulnerable points in the formation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of imagine a world where this thing was defending our archers, right? Was to intercept anyone who was trying to attack the archers.
That makes sense.
But that's just
honestly going with the armor style too. Like it feels like this would be like, yeah, like a front line. I like this. I like that actually. Like a front line protector. Imagine like all the Valkyria frames being deployed together is like so weird with their armor styles.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, I think most of them, if not all of them, are Ebikawa designs. Kanetake Ebikawa, the designer of like the for Full Metal Panic and for the Exia and all that. So, yeah. All right, and that would be all the Valkyria frames.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty fun episode. Still not too long, honestly. Still like the length of a standard episode. Like I said, it's like one of those things where, like, especially like a design like this, it just doesn't support its own episode. So it's like, fuck it. We may as well. We did it for the hexaframe also, so we may as well have done it here.
Do you want to get a little bit of work out of the way?
Yeah, sure.
We got some time, right?
Yeah.
Game time.
So I got a message from a listener.
Uh-huh.
Who had something they wanted us to cover, and I figure we could do it just a little bit at a time, you know, just at the end of episodes that aren't that long.
Okay.
So we're gonna start off with the, baked beans category of Bush's Beans.
Oh my fucking, okay, yep. I can't believe you're doing this to me, but okay, yep.
You can't? I'm a bad person.
Yeah, these are cans of baked beans. They are... Okay, so...
This is from listener Twitter user at Sam Saar. Thank you, Sam.
That is my roommate, yes, who was present for the discussion and was like, I'm going to message Six about something, and was thinking that you were just going to block her for this, but no, you've run with it. Okay.
So you want to just go... I mean, I guess we should...
All right, let's start with Bush's Best. Let's just go through these flavors.
I feel like we should start with Original just to have a foundation, because these all feel like variants to Original.
Okay. All right, Original. Now, okay, so my problem here is, have Bush's Best baked beans always looked the same?
Great question.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, like, obviously, like, all these cans are just changing color. These are just palette swaps. So obviously, like, if we look up, like, older cans, that's, like, the more the through line that we would be following, I feel, rather than the, like, because if we look at these, if we're being honest, like, Zero Sugar added Sweet Heat, they even use the same image of beans in the middle. They just change the color grading on it, it looks like. And no, they're not exactly the same, but nevertheless, these are mostly, like, color variations, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, well, okay, let's start off by describing just the base design. We can mention all the different colors.
Well, first, and we'll see what else we can do. First, I'm going to do this. I'm going to copy the original Bush's Best baked beans seasoned with bacon and brown sugar from 1969. I am posting this in the chat.
How did you find this?
It's on their history section of their website.
Well done.
See? Take a look. There's the original can. A better logo than the modern one, but we'll talk about that later. So we've got Bush's in bold, and then Best in a less bold typeface, a thinner typeface, with these little fleur-de-lis like looking things on the sides of the
pseudo embossed styling. Yeah.
And then you've got a little like nice ceramic pot full of baked beans, or like a glass pot full of baked beans there.
It's interesting. This is like clearly like a glazed, like very like it's well made, but it's very kind of a rustic style to the point where it has little notches on the side to grab it. But it feels like that would be really like they wouldn't offer you very much grip at all.
No. But like this. Yeah, it feels very rustic is the word I would use for this, especially you've got this like copper shiny color for like most of the can. It does do a outline on a lot of things, like a white outline around this the pot, and then like yellow outlines around Bush's Best. Then you've got the baked with brown sugar in a little brown shiny brown bar around the bottom. So that's the original can design. I think this original can design is a tasteful can design for baked beans. So let me see if I can find some other eras of Bush's baked beans cans. I hate that you're doing this to me. I hate that I'm gonna... you're not even doing it to me. I hate that my roommate's doing this to me. Alright. 80. Or let me look up 70s. Let's see if they had any substantial design changes in the 70s. It doesn't look like it, actually, because I'm looking up the different eras, and honestly, it's looking pretty much like what happens is basically you start getting, like, the more modern style. There's not a lot in between, or it's just not as well documented.
I mean, this is a little different here, right?
Oh, wait, hold on. I did find something. I found something. I want to find what is the Tennessee Treasures. All right, hold on.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at this.
All right.
I think I found the same thing.
Yeah, is it the white cans?
Oh, yeah. These look fantastic.
So these actually might be the original cans. That one on the history, even though it's like an older can, I think may not be actually like the oldest can. I think it's just they were like, let's just put an old can. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I think that in reality, so that actually might be the original can, like looking at that, right? Because it's got this illustration. If you look at the typeface and everything, that's like a very, it just looks old fashioned, right? Like, that's what I expected, like, cans from the 60s to look like. So
yeah, we've got, like, a cream-colored background here.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got a nice little illustrated image of your steaming hot beans in a casserole dish.
Well, the illustration is the one part I kind of... I guess there are two parts I have a bit of a problem with. I like... So there's a very tasteful double brown, like, line around the diameter up top. Uh-huh. You got Bush's in this nice blue with sort of a, like... brown, like 3D text, like depth to it. You've got Best in sort of a weird cursive that still looks kind of charming. Now, the first problem comes in when we get to pork and beans, because the choice of color here with the red, orange, and white makes it look vaguely blurry.
I also just don't like the font face for the Best there, personally.
It's weird. I think it's charming, but it is weird.
Yeah. I do think my favorite so far is that like middle one that I had earlier. Mm-hmm. That I guess I should.
Well, I really like the white here and the very striking, like the very minimalist styling here. I do also, however, think the illustration here of these beans, they look like coals. They look like red hot coals.
Yeah, it looks like hot coals. I can see that. It's not what
not
really,
ideal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then, okay, so then you've posted one here. I don't know what year this is. That's definitely a more modern one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the logo, and I don't like this logo as much. It's got just bushes in a more boring typeface where it, like, kind of splays out at the ends, or, like, is, like, vertically tall at the ends. You have Since 1908 on the top, and then you have Best in a different typeface, and it's all in this, like, little badge kind of, like, shape. I don't know how to describe that shape. It's like a ribbon, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like this logo. And then it's got, like, this, weird, like, so you've got, like, a gradient of, like, from, like, the orange to the black, almost like a dark, or dark brown, to the bottom, of, like, here. It's really weird that there's a gradient reaching the beans. And then it's got, like, a ribbon that says original around it. That says seasoned with bacon and brown sugar. And then, it has baked beans written in that little, like, darker part of the gradient. I just don't like that gradient. It just feels, there's a lot going on here, and I think there's too much going on, I guess, is how I would word it, right?
I definitely think there's too much going on. One thing I will commend them for, however, is that the pot of beans down below is imitating the original style.
Yeah, it does have the rustic pot, but it is, like, a more modern, and those handles look a little better.
Uh-huh.
Still very small.
It's also, given the number of beans in it, is clearly a much bigger pot. And so then those handles, therefore, are proportionally bigger and probably okay to use with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to note...
Oh, sorry.
We got an image here from the Bush's Beans Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Once it loads in here for us. That says, Happy Halloween.
Okay.
That's all.
Just wanted to share that. Just wanted to hurt.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I also like that those aren't cans.
Yeah, no, those are like little... I don't know what those are. Candies that are flavored like Bush's beans?
Something. They clearly have a wrapper in a way. Like, they're wrapped like a burrito.
Oh, and also, sorry, there's like a tasteful piece of bacon in the baked beans there because it's seasoned with bacon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, you will find that in, I mean, not that size, but you will find that in a can of Bush's baked beans.
I've never had, like, Bush's baked beans. I've never had baked beans out of a can.
They're fine.
The closest I've ever had is because I lived with a British person, I had pork and beans with, like, toast and eggs because the person wanted to show me what, like, a poor British college person eats, and I was like, it's all right.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Would you like it if they went with more of this kind of color scheme? The way they use their colors really is trying to, like, their oranges and browns are trying to evoke the baked beans themselves.
Uh-huh.
But would you like it if, like, the Bush's Visitor Center, they committed to blue and yellow?
I don't think blue... The blue and yellow... Well, this is why I don't like the logo, actually.
It looks like Lowe's.
Yeah, it's like Lowe's or something. Like I'm going to... You think you're going there to get furniture, and then they're trying to give you beans...
It happens to me all the time.
You're like, oh, I thought you were a Lowe's, I'm sorry. And then you just step out and they're like, wait, what? I wanted to go to a Tennessee Lowe's and I somehow ended up at a Bush's Baked Beans. It happens all the time. Anyway. Yeah, I just don't like that logo. I think that's the thing I like about like that one can I linked. Give me one second. Like I think that, like, this logo right here, if I have the copy image, I just think this is, like, the right amount. God, I hate that backpack. That's the worst.
It's a bean pack.
I just think that this is, like, the right amount of, like, tasteful. Like, it's still, like, it's not too gaudy, you know, but it's not as, like, overly simplistic as, like, the white old can. I think this is a tasteful can design.
I think it's too cluttered. Really? I think if you got rid of the BB on the side, right, that would be
that's true. I just think you say that's cluttered, but I mean, like, look at the way that, like, all the design elements going on that one here on the left. You know,
that's true, but truly look at the use of space. How much space on that is dedicated to? Can I make you deselect it so that it's not purple on my screen? That's just not doing it. Oh, well. this happens sometimes. How much of the space on that can is dedicated to the beans versus on the original can, like, none is.
That's
it's
fair.
It's such a small sliver.
But I like seeing the whole rustic pot. I like it. I like the little pot it's in. But no, you're right. You're right. I do understand that. Well, clearly what we need to do is we need to up the size of the bush's beans there.
Mm-hmm.
In the one, like, lower, like, the can of beans, and then get rid of that double B thing on the left.
Get rid of the double B. I think the baked beans in the huge yellow font could stand to be a little smaller, and then I think we'd be golden.
Yeah, that's fair. I could totally see that.
I'm just going to paste over it so it's not purple.
All right. Well, I think that's good for baked beans, because I'm looking and I'm finding a lot of similar cans. Again, there are flavors and whatnot, but it just changes the colors, but they're all kind of variations on the same theme.
I mean, let's talk, what variants are there and how do they mechanically affect the bean?
Okay, well, let's see. I'm going to go back to that page you linked. We're only going over modern flavors now because it's easier. Right. Overall, I don't want to.
So there's zero sugar added.
I said I would engage this with sincerity. I'm not spending an hour researching beans here. We've already spent 10 minutes on this bit.
Yeah, you'll spend an hour cumulatively over the course of this podcast because this is not the only time we're
doing
this.
Brown sugar, hickory, baked beans. I guess that has like mustard and sweet hickory sauce. It's probably smokier then, right? Because hickory is smoky, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it probably is a little smokier. And also, if the mustard, it might have a little bit of a vinegary zip, which might be nice.
Mm-hmm. Sweet heat. Oh, that's with jalapeno. Interesting.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Zero sugar added. I mean, it's probably fine.
I mean, they're cooked with brown sugar. They're probably bad.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no. If it has no brown sugar, then it's just beans. That's just...
To my knowledge, there's no, like, brown sugar equivalent of stevia. I think you're just fucked.
The vegetarian baked beans mentioned being slow cooked in a tomato sauce... with brown sugar and spices, but if it's slow cooked in a tomato sauce instead, I wonder if that would taste. I don't know. It's that actually might taste better. Like, I mean, you know, bacon would be a good, like, you know, like season thing, but honestly, like, it with tomato sauce, I can't imagine it's like bad for the vegetarian one, you know.
You're probably right, but.
Then we've got country style, which sounds good. It's just more, it is hickory smoked bacon and more brown sugar in it.
And a thicker sauce, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, home style is more, sounds like what you're looking for.
Yeah, home style is tomato-based and tangy with brown sugar, bold spices, and cured bacon.
I doubt the cured bacon thing makes a real difference, but yeah. I think the tomato-based sauce with the bacon...
You know what? I just realized with the vegetarian ones, though, I think that would taste like the pork and beans, right? Because, like, if you have, like, the pork and beans that you have with, like, beans on toast, like the British food that I mentioned, I think it uses a tomato sauce, too.
You're probably right.
So the vegetarian baked beans probably just taste like pork and beans kind of beans, or at least similar. Maybe the home style is actually similar because, well, no, because I think the pork and beans beans don't have brown sugar, though, because they're like the Heinz pork and beans things. Hmm. Anyway, honey sweet baked beans, they have honey added. I don't know. So I'm always weird about like adding sweetness to certain foods, right?
Well, and it's already a sweet food.
Is it? Well, I guess, you know what? I don't eat baked beans very often. I guess it is a sweet food, though.
They're cooked in brown sugar. Yeah, they're sweet. Duh. Yeah.
So, but I don't know if having the honey would add to it.
I don't think it would. I think this is a mistake.
Onions. I mean, I think onions would be fine in there.
Sure.
Yeah. It's bacon and onions. And then there's the Boston recipe, which adds... It's navy beans with a rich molasses, brown sugar, pork sauce, and a blend of spices. Interesting.
So... Molasses is self-explanatory. What the pork sauce means, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a couple more flavors you can show more, so fuck it. I'm doing the show more. We've got barbecue baked beans, which is just, it is cooked in a barbecue sauce instead. I think that's a waste of the barbecue sauce and the beans. Personally.
Yeah.
Maple and cured bacon. That, again, that's like doing the thing where it's going to be sweet. It has a touch of maple syrup and it's cured bacon. I just think that's going to be like kind of like the honey one where I'm just like, eh, it's going to be too sweet.
Yeah. Though the maple flavor might be nice. I don't know.
Organic. It just says slow simmered organic. I don't know what that means. And then when I hit show more, it doesn't work anymore. So
yeah, no, I believe what's happened when we hit the show more button is that it added three more things and moved the show more button downwards. So hitting it again does nothing.
Okay, so it's just there's no more beans. Okay. So these are like the modern flavors of beans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we're doing the thing like at the end of like an episode, right? I think you probably do this on like episode 3 of an anime, right? Where you dealt with a problem and then you realize how much more of the problem there is.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and click that link for me.
Hmm.
We have dealt with one of these sections.
We've dealt with the baked beans. Oh, uh-huh. No, I said baked bean cans. We don't have to do these other ones. I said baked bean cans in that conversation.
Dylan? When we roll the Leo, do we only discuss the Leo or do we discuss related units?
We'll be back. We are at 22 minutes over the fucking episode. I don't want to kill our listeners.
No, don't worry. This is next time. We're doing this another time. This is an ongoing project. Okay. We'll do the grilling beans. We'll do the chili and starters. We'll do the variety beans. We'll do the sidekicks seasoned beans. We'll do the blue zones. We'll do the snacks.
Just make sure to fucking demarcate the bean zone for people at the end of these fucking episodes.
Okay, I can do that. That's fair.
You listen to them beforehand. You could demarcate the beans.
If you're on the video version, I'm a shit video editor, so deal with it. If you're on the audio version, you will get a warning.
Yeah, well, alright. Put it in the description of the YouTube video.
Sure.
Warning,
sure.
Beans talk is from here to here. And then don't give any further explanation, though, so that way they still sit there and watch and listen, because they're like, what the fuck is Beans time? Beans time. Alright, well... All right, I'm going to leave you on here. Six, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. That's also where you can find me on co-host. My email or my DMs there are open for questions, comments, listener requests, like baked beans, though I think this is probably the most unhinged listener request we've ever gotten.
It was a shit post, and it's my fault. That's the worst part. That's why I'm so mad about this. This is my fault.
I know when it was delivered to me, it seemed like a sincere request. I mean, it was acknowledged that it was intended to cause you pain, of course, but there seemed to be a real
interest. I received a message because someone wanted to come in my room to grab the Switch real quick, my Switch, and it just says, Dylan, are you reviewing beans? So they can hear me outside of the room.
Splendid.
I hope they enjoy, because they know it's their fault. Anyway.
You can also find me work at ScanlanMedia.com or Patreon.com/ScanlanMedia. Dylan, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter.com as well as on co-host at LowPolyRobot. Haven't done anything too crazy on either place. Just kind of hanging out. I've been playing a lot of Ragnarok, of all things. Just on a small custom server. It's just... nice, you know, just small place. I like small MMO server as opposed to play on real MMO big server.
Yeah, I've been playing a fan server of City of Heroes. It's been cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's one that I've always been interested in, because I've heard people really like that one. Like City of Heroes and all that, so I should try that. But yeah, other than that, nothing too much. I do have, I'll show you this. I got a little friend, we talked about the Alexander on here. I got for a pretty good price, on eBay, surprisingly, a little SD Alexander.
Oh, that's cute.
Uh-huh. I think it's Good Smile, because it's, what is it?
It's their style. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the, it's a Variable Action D-Spec, is the company. And it's like Mega House, I think, is like the brand name. But I think Mega House is owned by, you know, Good Smile, so.
I love their pop-up parade line. That's some good shit.
The funny thing there with it is that it actually has the most detailed version of the little mask, because it has such a big head from being an SD that they did really good paintwork on it. Which is funny to me. And it can technically transform and all that, so that's fun. Anyway. Little buddy. All right, well, with that, Six.
The best houses give out bean mints.
I thought you were going to do a McGillis quote. God fucking damn it.
I did.
What?
That was McGillis.
Wait, what did he say?
Happy Halloween.
Shut the fuck up!
So we have inside.